Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
And know the door.
You tune in to NSF Radio.
In my deepest
heart. It is your host, Brother Alfred, and Chris Groovy.
Yeah. Once again, we are here. We are live. We are in the house. It is that time again. The NSF radio show is on right now for you. So listen, we are talking about today. We are getting it in. We are going into the big subject. Yeah, we tried to talk about it a little bit, but we're getting more depth about it. And I'm going to talk about why is the divorce rate in America, in the world, so high? Okay, why is it so high? You know, what's going on with ourselves right now? We are constantly seeing this in the news. I'm breaking up, I'm getting divorced, the kids are now being involved, mommy, daddy's fighting, the situation's getting toxic, and it's kind of a hostile world. It's just collapsing on itself. And with that being said, we are just hurting on many of these avenues, many of these lifestyles just collapsing. It don't matter if you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Hindu, or whatever, the divorce rate is hitting so much right there for you. So it is hard. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go into it, and we definitely trying to put something together so that we can try to overcome these problems that is constantly happening with us. So what I want to do is first, we have a doctor. She's been a student of psychiatry. She studied human anatomy as well as human behavior. And we want to let her talk to you first, and then we're going to get into it a little bit deeper. All right, so let us get to it.
Hey guys, it's Dodie Rorick. It's time to wake up and give love. So today we're going to talk about a question that I'm asked a lot, and this is pertaining to romantic relationships. And I'm asked a lot of why I personally think, with the work that I do with couples, of why the divorce rate is so high. And I think that it is several reasons. But I'm going to give you some of the top reasons that I think that it's on the rise. And unfortunately, unless people really take it seriously to invest in their best relationship opportunity and invest in themselves and their partner, then it's probably going to continue to rise even more. But there's a couple of things. So fundamentally, you know, when two people decide to get married, they're not meant to continue singular thinking or self-centered thinking. They're meant to become one and really learn what each other needs and provide it. And they're meant to really learn each other inside and out and become one heart, you know, that functions together, the yin and the yang. And I think that in today's times, I think there's a lot of that missing. I think people think that they're so worried about having their independence, which independence is totally important, but I think it gets misconstrued into ending up where people live much more two lives and intersect them occasionally, and so they end up being more like roommates than romantic, bonded, spiritual couples. And so that's one long answer for the first part. The other reason I think is that when two people get married, you're talking about two people that come from completely different households and upbringings and backgrounds, right? And so then you're taking them and you're just kind of throwing them into a situation to coexist and to blend. And the problem with that is sometimes it's really difficult for each other to understand the other ways of the other person's ways of thinking or ticking, or maybe some of their old baggage or whatever it is. And then there's kind of this lost feeling of how to truly understand it. So when I work with clients, we really track back through that. You know, we really look at the cause and effect. We look at some of the reasons of why we personally handle things the way we do and explain it to our partner. We look at the other partner and learn how to empathize of, oh, okay, it really annoys me when they react that way, but now I'm kind of understanding what's behind it and what creates that reaction for them. Now we can talk about it and have a strategy moving forward that's more productive. The other thing that I think is very destructive for relationships today is we live in a society where it's about fighting and degrading and fighting to win, and it's so, so important to make your argument and win and place blame. And if you blame the other person or you make the other person look like it's all their fault, then you can look better. And that never works well in a relationship. So, you know, when clients come into my office, you know, we have this whole long list we go through of rules before we decide if we're going to work together. And I have a no blame and no shame policy, because the fact of the matter is that we are all imperfect human beings. None of us are perfect. And as long as both people are willing and wanting to try to move forward, then, hey, everybody in a relationship has a lot to learn and a lot to improve on, if you're being completely honest. So it's never one way. It's always room for improvement on both sides. So we talk about that. Two other things I want to talk about, and of course, I can't mention everything in this video, but two of the other things I want to mention is, number one, there is an excess of digital availability these days. So if one of the partners in a relationship has any addictive tendencies and any of it kind of goes towards pornography, then it can really become a big problem because it's so readily available. So, you know, that's a really important thing to keep in check. Infidelity, even if it's not full fledged infidelity, some people don't realize that they're crossing boundaries, you know, so often in ways that they shouldn't do that are harmful to their relationship. You know, so it's so important to identify those things and set those boundaries so everyone's on the same track. So we work with that a lot with couples I work, even if it's not pornography or full-fledged emotional or physical affair, we really talk about what are the things that are safeguards for your relationship and what are things that you should be really careful with in how you interact with other people outside of your relationship and who you should discuss certain things with and how you should behave. And not in a critical way, but in a safety net way. Let's set up safe boundaries for the relationship. Ultimately, you want to protect the relationship. The last thing I want to talk about is forgiveness. You know, I get, you know, I think a lot of people, it's really hard for them to forgive. And I don't know about you, but I know that I am totally an imperfect person, and I need forgiveness often, and I try to give it very quickly and often, but it's very difficult for most people. And so, you know, I also work with clients almost always of working through that process of how to choose to at least have the effort and the want to forgive. And as long as you have that to start with, then as I walk people through the process, then it's easier and easier for them to forgive and for the other person to know how to ask for forgiveness or change those behavior patterns to make it easier and easier for them to be forgiven. And so those are all different things that can be, you know, problems in relationships, but also things that can absolutely be improved. And once you really look at all angles and aspects of a relationship with, you know, proven strategies to move forward with replacing old behavior patterns with new ones, then, I mean, your possibilities are endless. So I know this is a little bit of a long of a video, but it's such a big topic and I get asked so often. But anyways, I'm sending lots of love and hugs to all of you. Stodie Rourke, I'm signing off. And remember, anything is possible. If you change your patterns, you can change your future. Bye, guys.
Okay. Now, we're going to deep into this a little bit that we did check and that we did hear. And I'm just going to go straight, open up the floor. And just get it going. All right. So Brother Kofi, Brother Tony, Tom, Bossier Lepe, Jean Tom Palais, Mpase, Chirny, Mupanje. All right, to all my brothers out there and sisters out there. Now, the sub, what she was saying, some of it I agree, and some of it I had to sit back and think, like, what the hell you say? You know? And if we just got to be real with it, you know what I'm saying? We're just trying our best to trying to dig into this, because every time we look at, we do relationships on the show, right? Every time we do a relationship, it always somehow, some big, big thing is he did this in the relationship. She did this in the relationship. She, blah, 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 blah. The kids saw this and da, 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 da. You know, I mean, it's cool. I mean, I understand that. But what the thing is that we're not seeing on a consistent basis is the underlying reason why are you all in this relationship in the first place? Was it just because she got a nice booty or he got a big dick? What the fuck? Tell me. Tell me what the hell made you all get in this relationship that now you selling because of COVID or whatever the case may be. You suddenly want to break up, okay, because maybe one bad word was seen or one something or something that came along and just made the whole situation go cockeyed or stupid. You know what I'm saying? So how can, you know, we just say, okay, it's his fault. It's always his fault or it's always her fault. No, you can't do that. You got to be able to come at this thing from a perspective and say, okay, there is a way to resolve this issue. Because remember, we all were taught with kids, for every problem, there's a solution for the problem. And sometimes, if it is an extreme, you do have to go to that divorce. But it's not always divorce is the answer. So what are you doing to try to find a solution for it? Are you communicating? You have to ask yourself, are you communicating? Are you communicating with their partner properly? Are you talking to each other on a regular basis? Have you set your butts down and say, this is my problem with you? Instead of trying to brush it off or walk away, sit down. If you really love that person in the first place, you should have patience enough to sit down with that person and say, listen, I didn't like what you said to me or you did to me in the mall or you said to me when we was in bed or how you made me feel that day. Instead of just holding it in and let it bunch up. It's like a balloon. If you keep blowing hot air in it, eventually it's going to pop. You know what I'm saying? So we can't do that like that. We can't just loot like that. You know what I mean? See, yeah, listen. Okay. If we have a proper line of communication in the beginning of our relationship, we knew each other how we were. All right? And we knew how we were in the beginning. Yes, okay, some people say you don't know that person until you move in with them, you live with them for a while. No. You know that person before you get married. You know, if you're dating and you say, okay, I've been in a relationship with this guy for about 12 years. Okay, we're about to get married, and we just got married, or we just got married, and I live with him, and now I'm seeing these things. No, let me tell you something. If you spend a week with that person, live with them, that person within their household, or you spend that time with them and you communicate with them living there, and you can't humble yourself. I'm not saying take over somebody's house and make it your own house. I'm saying if that person is there and you are learning to love each other and you want this relationship to work, you got to be able to say, okay, I know about your quirks. I know about your faults. Are you communicating? Do you have a love language? Do you have an anger language? Are you on a menstrual cycle? What is going on with you? What is the physical ailments about you? Know those things before you get married to that person, And if you're not taking that time, and you just like, oh, he got a big dick, and I like the way he stroke it. No, that's not going to. That's not how you're going to get a marriage. That's not what a marriage is. A marriage is when you have two sets of people living under the same guidelines and understanding of those guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have that there, it goes in. All right? Everybody's in the house right now. Kofi, are you in the house?
Yes, sir. I finally made it on. Don't know what was going on, but I made it on.
Well, let me tell you something, man. It's been crazy because it's nuts. You know, I've been working like crazy to get this stuff off the going. I mean, we've been popping everywhere. So, you know, it's about that, you know, that time we're getting in. The NSF radio crew is in the house. So, listen, you know, I'm proud of having you on. And we do have our Creole French Connection sister. Sister, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Oh, bonsoir. Un passé.
Bonsoir. Secrecy.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell everybody. Yo, so what's up? We're getting a perspective from a woman's standpoint as well. So we want you to know that, you know, we're not biased. We're not biased against women or anything like that. We want to make sure we get everybody's perspective. Yes, we are men on here, so most of us are men. But you know what? We also understand the women's perspective. We are students of the book. We're students of the scholars. We understand certain things. We have very life experiences from different avenues. So we're here to educate, elevate, and inject a good perspective so that you can become a prospective person of a wide perspective of understanding. All right. So everybody, so what you did here, it's some excerpts that's been going on under it. The biggest topic right now, besides Joe Biden getting into the office of the White House, is divorce. I mean, Nicki Minaj is going through divorce. We want to go all the way back before COVID. Tyrese Gibson. Oh, come on, man. There's like a bunch of celebrities. They are filing divorce like it's just water. I mean, shoot. Usher went through some bull crap recently. Eddie Murphy.
It's different for them,
yeah.
Man. I'm going to take the ball right there. You know, as we chiming in talking about high-profile people, notable people, the difference with them is they got to be on at all times. You know, wherever they are, they're walking into cameras, they're being ambushed, you know, for photo opportunities, you know, people's trying to, you know, scrutinize everything down to how much did he tip, you know, when they go somewhere. So it's challenging being a public figure with such notoriety where you really don't have peace. So I can totally understand how, you know, those people who have participated in what we deem as reality TV these days, I can totally understand why the divorce rate for those puppets that are on display for us, I can understand why they fail, because it's immense pressure, you know, where not only you're trying to conduct yourself and have an intimate, private, loving relationship, but you're having to appease to people liking your every move. So whatever you do today, hypothetically speaking, if it gets out to the masses by way of social media and they all have something to say about, you know, to a critical assessment of what you did, I'll just say something simple as, I'm going back to the tip. Well, you know, Kanye tipped somebody $5 and he's a millionaire or a billionaire. What does it matter? What does it matter? But all of those things, all of those things, and I try to keep it real level and minute because, you know, when you start talking high level over people's head, you know, sometimes, you know, the message can get lost. But I'm saying about the tipping situation, what does it matter on the basis that that's what that person chose to tip? He's a human. He's no different from anyone else other than he's made some songs and been on television and traveled the world. Whoop-dee-doo. But after you take so many of those shots of people just constantly criticizing you day in and day out, and now you have your significant other bringing some of that same bull to your attention, like, babe, why didn't you do da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Because, you know, it just escalating, and it just makes people lose it. But on a simple level for regular humans, keep your relationships off social media, man. You know, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And more often than not, if you have 1,000 people following you, and I'm speaking from a male perspective, I don't post my significant other. Very rare. And if I do, I'll have men that I know are following me or a part of my friends list that don't have a peep to say anything to me on a day in or yearly basis, but they're clicking on that picture to see who the woman is. Because you have people that honestly sit back from a predatorial standpoint, and they your frenemies, man. They're lurking in the wind, man. I saw this with my ex-wife because I'm a divorcee, and I was managing one of her social medias for a business that we kind of sort of ran together. But it clearly states that it was her name in combination with my name, and it says gender, and I put M specifically so the dodo heads can see, hey, it's not her running this page. But you'll be surprised. Some of the people that I went to school with, some of the people that have we entertained at private affairs, parties, were right there in that inbox. Like, hey, what's up? You single again? And I didn't respond. I just sat back and I just chuckled because I'm just like, I already knew. This is the circumstances, man. When you are dating publicly, somebody always want what you have.
I want to come on in with it. See, then the question you got to ask yourself when you marry in today's world. Mm-hmm. All right, now everybody, I know in most religions, like my religion, Islam, we have to have what they call a marriage contract. That's list everything you expect of a husband, and she's supposed, and you expect a respectable wife. Should the marriage contract be standard in today's society, so that there should be no confusion of what you expect from each other? Should that be standard in today's society? Because these kind of things keep popping up. Should you have these things put in perspective? I mean, this is the kind of thing. I mean, I don't know about you all, but I personally think it should be standard, because you're looking at this thing, and it's crazy. The national database is now saying it was, someone said 25%, but the reality is, from the information I gathered on this, if the divorce rate in 2020 is 85.5%.
Yes.
That's nationwide. Now, I'm not including worldwide, because it's becoming a domino effect, because now with that tragedy, it doesn't just flow over to divorce. It becomes a mental problem as well. So the therapy sessions with therapists is going up. So you're seeing more people on Squarespace, psychiatry, talking about anxiety, depression, and you're seeing people talking about he making me feel this way, or she making me feel this way, and all kinds of way. And it's like, okay, all right here. I got to go. I'll talk to you later. You know, so, you know, and this is what's constantly going on. Now, Brother Kobe, you're a professor. Go ahead.
Well, Well, I'm gonna just jump in real quick, and then I don't know if the sister who's on, if she has something that she wants to say as well. So I'm gonna make it real quick. But like I would say too, you know, as somebody who does, you know, as somebody who does a lot of counseling, or somebody who does a lot of marital coaching and things like that, one of the things that we don't think about too, when it comes, because we talked about this a while ago, but you know, when it comes to, or Brother Alfred and I did, you know, when it was just us two a little while ago, we were talking about marriage, we were talking about relationships, communication, et cetera. And one of the things that people forget is we do a marriage contract, so to speak, but not one that's, you know, as much legal or one that needs to be presented as much as it is something that we do during the counseling session, because even simple things as far as how should we talk to one another? What is your love language? When I address something, is it okay to how should I approach you when something's going on based on conversations we've had? Have we had conversations about different things? Also, too, we've talked about things like, you know, and this you can say this is a canonical viewpoint or whatever, or this is, you know, based on one's belief, but even the further back you go into history, it's understood that marriage is sex and sex is marriage. So a lot of people, that I'm talking about not just biblical, I'm talking about the further back you go into the story of mankind, everybody kind of goes by that, including even today, to where if you were to get married to somebody and not have sex, if you were to go before a judge, the judge would annul it, annul your marriage, because if you don't consummate it, it's not considered marriage. Now, what comes out of marriage or the institution, I think, is the problem that people go into, because we've studied more about, to be honest, not even study more, we're more prepared for divorce than we are for actual marriage. And that's one of the key things that coronavirus has really shown us, is people are more prepared for, okay, I can do bad all by myself than I can, hey, what happens when bad happens to us while we're together? And that's become more of the issue, is that I'm seeing when I'm talking to people, when people are calling me, when men are saying I can't handle it anymore, when women are saying I can't handle it anymore, it might be for slightly different reasons, but the reality comes down to is that a lot of stuff, I call it, being preactive. You know, a lot of us are reactive, but instead a lot of us are not preactive. What are the things that we have in place? What are the things that we already know about marriage? Even if you want to go into some canon type stuff, like some biblical type stuff, or even other religions agree with it, maybe under different, you know, words or whatever. But even if you want to go into something like he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Well, first of all, do you know what a wife is? What are the qualifications of a wife? What right. does that matter? Like, do you know what a husband is? What are the qualifications? Why does it matter? Like you were even talking about, Brother Alfred, why are you getting married in the first place? Are you getting married because this person is my sun and my moon and my stars? Because once that emotional stuff wears off, you're still going to have a marriage. There are days, you know, in my marriage, you know, and I've been married in my life for going back to 2003, right? And there are days that I'm not going to like myself, but I have to still love my wife. Like, are you prepared for that? You know, are you prepared for those days where you're not even feeling it yourself, but you got to be feeling it for your wife? Are you prepared for those days to where she's not feeling it, but you still have to love her regardless? Are you prepared for those days to where the children are not going to act perfect and the job might not be there and somebody might come home with life-changing news as far as health or whatever? Have you prepared yourself for that, or are you somebody who's going out and before you get married, you already signing prenuptial agreements because you've decided that once this mess doesn't last forever, I'm already in on how can I get on to the next one and get out with as much of my skin as possible. So I think that's a big piece that we have to think about, is a lot of people are more prepared for the actual divorce, the divorce, the getting rid of the relationships, the splitting of two. And divorce is even like a death. You know, you're alive together. You become one. This person's in on everything in your life. And then all of a sudden part of you dies, but you're prepared to go ahead and go through that death and that funeral more so than how can I live with this person and give them their flowers while we're in this, and every day dedicate myself to where the goal is that I want to be with you as long as possible. But the goal is I want to be with you, and I want to be so well for you that if anybody even attempts to try and get your attention, they're going to have a hell of a time doing so, because in comparison to what I give you, they can't even consider the love that I have for you. So I think that's part of the problem, but I'm going to go ahead and get out the way.
Brother
Kofi.
Go ahead.
I want to just add 2 points to that. You know, as I said, my ex-wife was one of those ones that was running around and proclaiming she found her Boaz. But in that same breath, when it was over, within a year she was already with someone else. And this is not to slander the person. I'm just I'm agreeing with the points that he's making where. We're not prepared for the marriage itself to go the mile, the distance. We're more focused on, instant gratification and then looking past that in the event that something happens or it doesn't go right. And I'm going to pass it to her.
All right, sister, you're on 781. You are on live. Thank you for calling the NSF radio show. Would you like to chime in? What do you think? Why do you think divorce is so high, and why do you think relationships are falling so much in today's society? What is your point on this? All right, 781, are you on 9953? Are you on? Okay,
yes,
we're gonna
I
go.
Am on. I'm sorry, I'm on.
Okay, all right, right. I said, why do you think divorce rate is so high in America? Why do you think it's going even internationally? I know in Haiti, France, people are filing for divorce, decrees are breaking up across the world. Can you explain to us what is your point on the view as a woman also? What is your view on why is this going on?
Well, to start, I said there are so many reasons. And one of the reasons, especially with this pandemic going on, the rate going very high. One, because most of the spouses, they don't spend too much time together. So because of the pandemic, now everybody's at the house. Everybody's been annoyed by one another, miscommunication. It's either they don't respect or they value each other's opinion and stuff like that, the argument constantly. Another one I would say also is finance, where all of us are also going through finances issues. But I would say there are some spouses, like when it comes to wife, they might leave going to work, especially right now going to work, it's a way for them to set themselves free, to be away from their husband, or the husband be away from their wife and stuff like that. But the fact that they are together, it's either the husband might be abusive and the wife cannot take it anymore and file for divorce, or the wife being annoying, cannot compromise or not listening to the husband. The husband getting annoyed and file for divorce. Or another thing, if the husband was cheating and couldn't see, can I go see his mistress? That's a conflict. So he was taking out on the wife. Poor wife doesn't know if the husband is cheating. So he's taking out on her. And the same for the wife, it goes back and forth. I'm not putting fingers at the husband, but it goes both ways. So
Right.
So the thing is, I always say that to myself, that to have a good marriage, you need to have communication. If you don't communicate with your partner, definitely there's going to be some leak in there where miscommunication, not understanding, not valuing your partner's opinion and feelings. And we both know that women, us, we can be very sensitive. And sometimes the men, they don't really care. They listen to us, but they're not really paying attention to what we are saying. So I think that if you are married or it doesn't have to be married. Like, if you're in a relationship, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or your husband or wife, like, if you are in a relationship with somebody, if the person comes to you and express their feelings and tell you what they don't like in this relationship or what they don't like in this marriage, it's up to you as a partner, whether you are the wife, whether you are the girlfriend, your husband, or the boyfriend, you need to pay attention to what he or she is telling you. It's because there's something that's not right. Something is not making them feel good. So as a husband or as a wife, it's for you to listen to them and try to solve the issue. Divorce not right. always the solution, but if you sit down and think, say, okay, I did this to my wife, she didn't like it, so what can I do to help this marriage work? Or what can I do to help my husband understand me? How can I solve the situation? But if you're throwing jabs, I'm throwing jabs, we both are throwing jabs at each other, what will be the solution? It's going to go nowhere. It's going to lead to divorce. Mm. And then who's going to suffer? If you have kids, we both know who's going to suffer is the kid.
Okay. So, well, I want to go ahead, brother.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you, now being from a Haitian or a different country originally and having family in there, can you explain to our Creole and the French people that in their native dialect is about what do you think is the most key things for us to men relationships? Can you say it in a Francais?
Oh, la, la. je ne sais pas comment le dire en français, mais la première façon pour avoir un mariage
oui.
vraiment réussant,
oui.
I'm sorry, I don't have to mix it with French and English. Communication. Communication,
oh.
c'est seule chose.
Merci beaucoup. Yeah. All right, sister. We appreciate you coming on. And listen, can you help me give a shout out to everybody in the French land and say NSF Radio is your show?
Yes. It's my first time, but I really enjoy. Thank you for letting me be a part of your discussion today. I really appreciate it.
Merci beaucoup, ma chérie. Hein? Qu'allez-vous?
Au
revoir.
Au revoir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to go to our next caller right out here. 334 area code. You are on NSF Radio.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, I have to agree with the last caller. You know, I think the key to any successful marriage is communication. You know, I've been married 34 years, first time, you know, and so I've learned a lot in that time, you know, and I think as a guy, you know, when you do wrong, you take your licks and man up. And I think that as far as like my wife, you know, you do have to listen to her. You know, there's needs, you have needs, your wife has needs. So instead of tearing each other up, you need to build each other up and not always,
right.
you know, what can I get out of you? But, you know, even like myself, you know, it's silly, but I mean, I run my wife's bath when I have a chance or do things that I know that needs to be done. And so I don't expect anything for it, but you know, you need to keep your marriage. When you first dated your wife or husband or whoever, you would have walked over glass and threw fire for them. And what happened
right.
years later?
Right.
And so you have to keep that marriage in that newly beginning. And so it doesn't matter, you know, if you go out for a $200 dinner or you go out for a McDonald's and split a McDonald's, it shouldn't matter. You have each other. And so there's a lot of people today when we, you know, we go out, you know, and we look, that I think the internet is probably one of the worst things because, you know, when I was dating, now we're going back to the 80s, but, you know, you'd go up to a girl, hey, why are you doing, you know, what did she turn you down? Well, you go to the next girl, but today you swipe. You're looking at girls like you're ordering a pizza. So you don't really know each other. You don't take that time to understand each other and your needs. And you know, you the way you talk to your wife, or your husband, or whoever. You know, so you're the man of the house. So if that doesn't mean that your wife and children have to do exactly what you say, but you know there is a respect thing. But you know, when my wife and I got married, we had nothing. I mean nothing. And so you don't always have to have things, because those things that you pay $1,000 for today, you can only get $25 in a garage sale in a couple months. So don't put a lot of faith in that stuff. Put your faith in each other, because that's what gets you the long run.
Right. And I tell you what, I agree with that 100%, and definitely give applause for that, because you know what, it's very important that we support each other in our relationships, no matter what we are going through, and whether it's the ups and downs. When you start off, you're just coming empty. When you meet that person, you haven't given them a dime. Your words of affirmation is what gets you in the door. And after right. time, those things that come into place along with that, after the affirmation, because the first line of communication is there. You know, and
exactly.
you're communicating with on a verbal before you even get the materialistic level. That doesn't even come
exactly.
into play.
Exactly.
Right,
right.
In today's society. Go ahead.
No, I didn't. Oh, no. What I was trying, my point is this. Back in 2000, when September 11th happened, my wife and I, we lost our house, we lost our cars, we lost everything. It wasn't like stimulus checks and everything today. So, you know, we all had was each other. And, you know, we were either going to make it or break it right then and there. And so those hard times in your marriage is what that marriage is really made of. So are you going to run, or are you going to stay?
That is so true. That is so true.
And that's key.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that's key right there. And I love what you just said, caller, because that's, you know, key. And, you know, we don't think about that. Once again, a lot of people don't think about the basics. Once again, like what is, like, if we can go, once again, we're more prepared for divorce to run than we are for staying within a marriage. And like you said, you use the term that some people might get frustrated by, you know, because of all the different terms. And I'm not saying it's good, bad, whatever. I'm just saying, but I like that term, man up, because at the end of the day, there's some stuff. It's hard. Like, let's just keep it 100. We as men don't even want to hear from our boys, or even our own fathers, our own mothers. We don't want to hear from people about the things that we need to man up about. We need to change. We need to be better. And so you're going to have a woman who is designed to help to make you better. She's designed to help make you whole. And if she sees some things that are not, you know, at the same, that are not where they need to be, then, you know, she's going to say some things. And
exactly.
And so, there's okay. And I don't know. I got some back. I guess I got something going on in the background. But yeah. So when you're dealing with this issue going on, you know, you have to understand that we're oftentimes not going to be in a position where we're ready to listen, where we're ready to hear. And sometimes you have to listen. Like your wife. Think about it like this. Your wife is an incubator, right? Like if anything you give your wife, her goal, her job, the way she's created is to take it and make it double and continue to make it grow. So, like, you know, if you give her, you know, for example, if you give your wife, you come home and you give your wife some food, I don't know how she does it, but she'll take the food that you give and she'll make a meal, right? If you give your wife some affirmations, I don't know how she does it, but she'll come back and make you better than how you make you feel better than how you made her feel. If you give your wife a dollar, you know, she'll if you give your wife 15 cents, she'll come back with a dollar, right? If you give your wife a seed as far as even your sperm, she will take that one sperm, and when it comes to with what she has, and it will turn into a child 9 months later. But the same thing happens with our words, too. Like, if you tell your wife a word, right, she's going to give you a sentence. And if you give your wife a sentence, she's going to give you a paragraph. And if you give your wife a paragraph, she might give you a chapter. You give her a chapter, she'll give you a book. But it's going to be based on what you give her a lot of times, too. And a lot of times we don't like to look in the mirror as far as the reflection. Now, I'm not saying that everything is on us as men, but a lot more is on us than sometimes what we want to take. And I appreciate that viewpoint because you've got to get to a place to where you understand, what am I giving her? What is she doubling up? Like, if you tell your wife something like, you know, I have a vision and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do this in 10 years. Well, after a year, if you decide you want to give up and you start talking to your wife about giving up, she's going to come back to you with what you said. And she's going to say, hey, didn't you tell me that you were going to do this and this and this and this and this? And we get mad at her because we say, oh, there she is. She's nagging me. But no, that's not really nagging at that point. That's her saying, you said this. This is what you talked about, and now I'm giving it back to you, and I'm going to give it back to you more than what it is. And if you give her frustration, she'll even give you hell. You know, she'll get, you know, that, like, whatever you give her, she is designed to take it and to be able to make it grow. And so, you know, there's obviously things on the woman's end, and I'll let, you know, some of the other people chime in on that. But I really appreciate that part of it because that's something that we as men don't want to hear and don't like to hear and don't like to participate in as much. But it's very factual and very contextually factual, which is, hey, understand that your wife, a true wife, not a woman, because there's a difference between a woman and a wife, right? But your wife is supposed to make sure that she doubles what she gives you. She's supposed to triple, quadruple it. She's supposed to have exponential growth. That is what she's about. And even if you come to her, by the way, here's something else too, real quick. I'm sorry, I know I said I was going to end, but let me just say this real quick, and then I'm out, I promise. Like, a lot of women get frustrated because of the fact that we as men sometimes don't have vision. Like, I'm going to just keep that 100 with you. Dealing with a lot of marriages, dealing with couples, doing couples retreats, writing books, doing stuff like that. I promise you, one of the things that happens is that a woman gets with you and she's ready for to see where you're going, right? And she wants to help. But a lot of times she asks you over and over again, what is your vision? And a lot of times our vision might as well be, well, I don't know. And, well, I don't know doesn't help her on her end to help you to reach what you two are supposed to be together. Because guess what? When you walk down that aisle, at least, you know, if you do the traditional marriage thing, the whole Eurocentric thing, but it actually has some good values. When you walk down that aisle, the father gives the bride away, or a father-like figure gives the bride away to the groom. Why is that? Because the father was taking care of her. The father was treating her with respect. The father raised her. The father made her feel special as a girl and as a woman. And now he's giving all of that over to you and saying the same way when she was crying, I was there for her. The same way that she might not have known what to do, but I was teaching her and telling her things, but I wasn't doing so to bash her. I was doing so to encourage her to be lifted up. Like, all those things that I was doing, now I transfer that authority over to you. That's on you now, bro. And so I trust you with that. I trust you with her life. I trust you with her goals and dreams. And I trust you the same way that she lifted me up to have a vision in place and goals and even financial things in place, even though it's not all about that, but even some financial things in place so that she will be able to not have so much pressure and she can function and help you at the same time to be able to grow. So there's a lot of stuff in there that came from that statement, but I really appreciate what the caller had to say about that.
Yeah, I wanted to say I appreciate you all coming on, and Carla's gone, but I appreciate you coming on. You all tuned in to NSF Radio Show with the Power Team, the Mighty Threesome, right? We are here. We are listening. We are getting to it right now, and we definitely appreciate everybody for tuning in today. Today is definitely one of those days, and just in case we don't get to see you next week, because you know what it is, it's the Thanksgiving time. So we want to say appreciate you all coming in, tuning in, but please tune in next week. We will have a special. All right, so we want to say happy Thanksgiving to y'all, and gobble, 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 and cookie, clucky, clucky, and whatever, turkey. But we would just like to say thank you and appreciate you all for coming in, tuning in today, because you know what? Yes, we have another hot one again, and this subject is going wild like fire. We are talking about, why is the divorce rate in 2020 so high? Are we going to end this year with a record number of divorces? And are we going to just be in this world where it's like, I'm married to you for 1 year and then bye? You know, like, what, you can't, you know, y'all remember the song by Boys and Men. It says, the struggle through the storm, you know, I think it was New Edition. Can you struggle through the storm? A lot of people would say, well, the excuse is, well, I'm human. So what? You get into a relationship, what, for some magic? Relationships are not magic. It takes time, investment. Just like you put investment in your own business or your own career, you got to put investment in time until you're into that relationship. You got to be able to say, I'm strong enough to handle the bad with the good with the person. So when that person goes through something bad, you go through something bad. And trust me, after pursuit of worse comes a pursuit of greatness. And if you keep that time in it and you progress, it's like you started a chess game and you 3 moves from winning, but then next thing you know, oh, I give up. Oh, like, hold on, man.
Yeah.
You're about to win. You're about to win. You're about to mate the person. You checkmate in 2 moves, and you're gonna walk away from the game. You can't see.
But listen, though, here are some of the factors. And, I mean, I know some of them have been stated thus far in our conversation. But some of the contributing factors of divorce right now is marrying too young, limited education. And I know Kofi spoke on that when he's saying men have short vision to no vision. And, you know, you have to liken that to education. And I always have this saying for a lot of people, man, you are what you see. So if
that's
in your
good.
Community,
yeah, that's good.
If you're in your community, thank you, sir, and you're not seeing people get married, you're less apt to get married. But if you're put in a situation where you may get pressured into marriage, what is your bar? What are you setting your standards to? And if your only other examples that you have are the celebrants that you spoke of initially, Brother Alfred. You know, people are watching them on reality TV or Instagram and saying, hey, my goals are based on their lifestyle, and that's what that's how I'm, you know, trying to literally run my marriage. You know, that's where we have a lot of failure because, and here's another one, income and now, this was a big one, definitely in my marriage. We had a conflict of interest over which church to go to. She was Pentecostal.
You done opened the can. You opened the can. You done opened the can.
We got 8 minutes left. But I'm just listening. I'm just putting a blanket statement out there.
We're going to have to put a part 2 on this thing now because, you know what? We got into the COVID. We got into this just a little bit before, and we talked about the marriage in outside of your faith, and it does affect big. I don't care who you talk to. Yeah, some faith said you can do it. Some say no. Some say this and that. You know, and you might as well just use the new word of 2020, which is entanglement. It's nothing but an entanglement situation, and that is the hot trend word of the day. It is an entanglement situation,
right.
It is cost to be going, you know, and with that costing, moving the costing flow, you know, we can't do nothing about it but keep it going. Well, listen, we've got about a few minutes left in the show. Go ahead, Brother Coop.
I don't know. I'm going to get out your way, bro, because I know you hadn't finished your statement, so I'm going to get out your way, bro. But I was just saying, real quick. So even though what you're saying, even about that, you know, once again, that comes back to have you studied more about how to split or how to be on things outside or even how to be together. Like as a pastor, I'll deal with a lot of cats a lot of women who will come to church, for example, and their husbands don't show up, and I'll pull them to the side. Now, a lot of pastors don't do this. I'll pull them to the side.
and be like, you know, where's your husband, blah, blah, he's an important part of your life. You know, we see you over here. We want to know him. We want to grow with him. And she'd be like, well, he just this, and if you understood, blah, blah, and I'll listen. And as a man, I'm like, you know what, I understand. I understand because he's supposed to be your pastor before I am. Like, you got too much respect for me or some other pastor, whoever it is, than you do for your own husband. And he's sitting there thinking, like, you can quote me all day, but you can't quote him. That's out of order, you know. But once again, we're more on things outside the house than we are in. So I'll tell him, like, don't show up for a couple of weeks, and you need to speak into his life and tell him that he's amazing and tell him that his thoughts matter the way that you would to me, because I'm some stranger. By the way, I'm married. I can't do nothing for you. But he's going to be able to do something for you. You need to make sure that that's straight. So once again, we got more focus on how to break up or things outside the relationship than in. But I just wanted to say that that's a great, you know, that's a great little nugget right there, bro.
Yeah, that all couples back into the education aspect of it. And, I mean, I agree with it wholeheartedly. Of studying your mate, and but you know, when we look at marriage, or we think that we want to enter into marriage, a lot of times we're acting off of lust because we don't want to lose that person. So we're enjoying the fruit. So we try to make sure nobody else gets that apple or that peach. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, but you know, I'm gonna pause right there. I know we got a few minutes left.
All right, it's time to pay the bills. All right, time to pay the bills. Let's real quick and stuff. Don't forget, every Monday, every Wednesday, King Cam is on the thing, Midnight Oil.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
All right, it's about that time when you're getting ready to what to do to get close it out. But we're not going to close it out just right yet. We're going to try to drag this out just a little bit. Give me a little bumper room. We can't, tiny bit. Tell you now, me, I'm a student now. I'm a student becoming an imam in my faith, and you know, and also considered a minister. And we have what they call nikah. Nikah is what marriage is. Now, I would be asked, you know, I would ask somebody who comes to me and says, okay, I want to marry. Now, the quote, Brother Loom, now everybody knows Loom from back in the hip-hop days when he was a rapper. Now he is on the forefront of the Islamic community. He's a preacher. He's an imam. You know, he's no longer a rapper anymore. You know, used to rock with Jadakiss and all them cats back in the day. But, you know, he even quotes something that was quick. He says, the reason we have problems in our world is because these children or these people or these women, they want to date a man because they see the American world, see how everybody going out dating, all that stuff. Nah, you're supposed to go bring your wali, sit down with the father, which is your wali, your guardian, sit down and go through the process, and you sit there, you go to the imam, you get married, and once you get married, you know each other. You know who he is because you're square. If you are following your deen, or you're following your faith, the rule, and you're strictly with that, and you're doing the right thing, there should be no problem. And you should love each other. Yes, you should be able to lower the gaze and see the beauty of that woman or that husband. You're able to be able to see each other, and you see the clarity of each other. But it's not happening. It's happening all over. Christianity, as when I was a Baptist minister in Mississippi, they even tell you all that kind of stuff. So I want everybody to know there is a struggle between normalcy of humanity and freedom of expression in between the relationship process to get to the marriage, get to the altar, and it becomes toxic, and next thing you know, divorces keep popping up. It's the way you are relating with yourself, or you're relating with your significant other, just because you want to maybe be in the know, or be in the crowd, or say, okay, girlfriend, I know what you're talking about, and just, you know, it's these kind of things that come into play. It's no respect. If you don't have respect for each other and you do not able to align yourself properly, then guess what? Your relationship will not work. I'm Brother Alfred. That's Brother Kofi. The brothers in the building, we are the powerhouse of the NSF radio show. So everybody, next week, you know what? My head started tingling. Guess what? My brain's thinking. So guess what? We might have to do this again sometime and continue on. Check the statistics. Check the map. And guess what? We're going to do it again. So I'd like to say it to all my brothers. Everybody give a shout out and tune in. And don't forget, get yourself some NSF gear. Come on, go on the shop. Buy yourself a Kofi Speaks shirt. Get yourself right here. All right? The NSF Cloak Coat. Get right here and get the patch on the side with the brothers' names on it. And trust me, man, y'all will love it. It's get the hardest gear right now for you. All right? Getting on with it. We are here, and we are gone.
Let's start the show. Tune in to NSF Radio. Your host, Brother Alfred, and Carl Pimkoopy.
When I call and you may not think that I care for you, when you know deep down inside.
You tune in to NSF Radio.
All right, remember I always say, I may get down, but I always get back up. Y'all have a good night. Peace.